Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Wednesday night, July the 5th, and we've got a full weekend of racing to preview for all of our listeners tonight. Joining me to do our preview tonight is our co-host, Jay Huseman. Welcome to the show, MJ. Can you hear me, MJ? Welcome to the show, MJ. Are you here? All right. I'm not sure what's going on. For some reason, I'm not hearing MJ Huseman, so we're going to go ahead and ask him to call back in and see if we can go ahead with our preview once he returns. We've had a problem here. There's been a little bit of technical issues the last couple of weeks. And we're going to keep trying to make this work. So we are. What I'm going to do while we're waiting for Jay to call back in is give you the rundown of our show for tonight. We're going to start with the ARCA Racing Series. They'll be racing at Iowa Speedway on July the 8th for the Fans with Benefits 150. That will take place at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll give you all of our preview for that race. And joining me to do that is our co-host, Jay MJ Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Sharon. Happy to be here as always.
Okay. I'm glad we can hear you. That works. And then after MJ and I preview the ARCA Racing Series, we're going to get right into the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series East, and they're racing at Thompson Speedway Motorsports Park this weekend, and we'll talk about that race that will be taking place also on Saturday, July the 8th at 8:15 Eastern Time. And we'll also give you the update on the Can-Am Pro Series West. That will all take place during our first half hour here on Fan for Racing Radio. And then starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to get into Kentucky Speedway. Three races. We've got a triple header at Kentucky this weekend, starting with the Camping World Truck Series on Thursday night, which is why we're doing our show on Wednesday night this week. The Camping World Truck Series will be racing the Buckle Up in Your Truck 225 this Thursday, July the 6th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The television coverage will be on Fox Sports 1 starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Also racing this weekend at Kentucky Speedway is the NASCAR Xfinity Series for the Alsco 300 at 8 p.m. on Friday, July the 7th. And then completing the triple header, we'll cover the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series preview during our 9:30 half hour. That race is taking place Saturday, July the 8th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and will be covered on NBC Sports Network starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So, Jay, that was a mouthful. We've got a lot to cover here tonight.
Yeah, we got five of them, five of the six this weekend, so.
A lot of racing for our all race fans. Let's start with the Iowa Speedway. Fans with Benefits 150 for the ARCA Racing Series. Austin Terrio has been leading the series point standings there and also won the last time out at Madison International Speedway, Montgomery Ward 200. Who's your favorites to watch this weekend for the Fans with Benefits 150?
Well, making another start will be Kyle Weatherman in the number 78 Turn 1 Condo Chevrolet for Mason Mitchell. And he's on track to make his 50th career ARCA start at Iowa Speedway in the Fans for Benefits 150 from Wentzville, Missouri. He'll be, as I said, he'll be driving the number 78, and he's already got two runner-up finishes at Iowa. So he's always a factor when he's in the race.
Absolutely. And another driver I'm going to be watching, he loves to race at Iowa Speedway. Mason Mitchell, his team owner, is going to be racing the number 88 this weekend. And he's won this race several times. So I definitely think he's one to watch this weekend. He's from West Des Moines, Iowa, and he's going to be racing in front of his hometown crowd. He's always a favorite at this track. So definitely keep your eye on Mason Mitchell this weekend. Who else are you watching?
Well, as always, you know, I'm a fan of Dalton Sargent. He'll be in the Cunningham Motorsport 77 Big Time Ford. He's gonna have to do some work to close that points with Terrio picking up his third win. That points gap is growing a little bit, so if he wants to close that up, I think he needs to get himself another win.
Absolutely. He's been knocking on the door of winning several races here, and Iowa Speedway could certainly be a track that he could make that happen. So I agree with you. I think Dalton Sargent is definitely a driver to watch this weekend. Another driver that I think fans should keep their eye on, though, is Michael Self. He'll be racing the number 28 this weekend with Matthew Miller as his team owner. Definitely keep your eye on him. Michael Self has won at this track before in the K&N Pro Series, and I think he's a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. He's another one that's been knocking at the door of winning, and again, I think Iowa Speedway will be a great opportunity for him to pull that off this weekend. Anybody else you've got your eye on?
Yeah, I was going to say one team, the MDM Motorsports, as a team has a momentum. They've won three races already this year with Justin Haley at Talladega, Harrison Burton at Toledo, and Brandon Jones at Michigan. And I believe Sheldon Creed, yeah, in the number 12 United Rentals Toyota driving for them. He could be one to watch.
Absolutely. Sheldon Creed is a great racer. He's racing, like you said, this weekend with MDM Motorsports, and definitely a driver to keep your eye on. Some of the other drivers, we mentioned that Mason Mitchell is from West Des Moines, Iowa. Another driver not too far away from the Iowa Speedway is A.J. Fike. He's really good on the dirt tracks, but he may be a driver to keep your eye on this weekend. He's from Galesburg, Illinois, and he'll be in the number 27 car driving for his dad, Don Fike. So another driver to keep your eye on. And another one that I think we may want to watch, he's driving with a brand-new crew chief this weekend, Brett Holmes in the number 23. It'll be interesting to see what he does with a new crew chief on top of the pit box this weekend.
That's right. I forgot they had made a change there in an attempt to try and move up. He is sitting fifth in points, having picked up two top fives and five top tens so far in those first nine races. So he's one that's right there in the thick of the battle, at least for those top position in points.
Absolutely. So I think we've got a lot to look forward to this weekend at Iowa Speedway. Always a fun track to watch. But another driver I think to keep your eye on is Spencer Davis, driving with Venturini Motorsports. He'll be in the Pinty's number 25 car for Venturini. I think he could be good in his Toyota at Iowa Speedway this weekend.
When we're talking about Venturini, again, they'll have three entries. Another one that would be the 16-year-old Kristen Eckes of Middletown, New York, in the New York Bus Sales Toyota in the number 15, having won the Pensacola Snowball Derby at Pensacola in 2016. He's had his best finish already at Elko Speedway in June, where he finished second. And he's only doing a partial schedule, but he's led 272 laps, and in five starts, he's got three top fives and five top tens. So again, Venturini Motorsports always gives drivers a good ride, and he's one that can get it done with that car.
Absolutely, and you're mentioning Venturini, Zane Smith, another driver from Venturini Motorsports in the number 55. But there's two other drivers that I want to make sure we don't count out this weekend. Austin Terrio, the points leader, the last race winner in the number 52 for Ken Schrader Racing. You can never count him out. If he's not finishing first, he's in that top five. And I think he's certainly one to not be discounted this weekend. Another driver that we can't count out of the mix here in the number 18 car for Joe Gibbs Racing, or with Coy Gibbs as his team owner, Riley Herbst. From Las Vegas, Nevada. He'll also be one to watch this weekend at Iowa Speedway.
I think the last one, we've covered pretty much everybody in the top 10 in points. Gus Dean in the number 32 Toyota for Kevin Swinski is another one that has been seven top 10s. You know, so he's right there battling every week. He unfortunately doesn't have a win yet. But he's closing in on it for sure.
Absolutely. And two other cars that I want to make sure we don't miss. We're waiting to hear who those drivers are going to be. I don't know if you've heard yet or not, MJ, but the number three car, Chevrolet for Wayne Hixon, that driver I don't think has been announced yet. And then also for Andy Hillenberg, the number 10 car has not been announced yet. They're driving a Ford in this race this weekend, so fans can keep their eyes out for that news as we get closer to Saturday night's race.
Yeah, no, I don't have an update on that.
Okay, so definitely something for fans to keep their eyes on as far as news for those drivers or for those cars. We'll want to know who those drivers are going to be. And a lot of times, you know, it could be some names that we're very familiar with. I want to make sure we also mention that Sam Schramm is the crew chief that is taking over for Brett Holmes in his car this weekend at Iowa Speedway. So he is he has worked with Lyra Motorsports before. He's worked with GMS Racing. Now he's going to be working with Brett Holmes at Brett Holmes Racing in the ARCA Racing Series. He's also been the crew chief for Kyle Weatherman and for the ARCA champion Grant Enfinger in the ARCA Racing Series. So he's a little bit of a veteran working with Brett Holmes this weekend, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly they can gel their relationship this weekend at Iowa.
Definitely a guy with some good experience. Obviously, some of those names you named it have moved up to some other series, so you know that he works with some winners, so we'll see how that goes for him.
Absolutely, and I'm wondering, we're at that point, I need to know, who's your pick to win this weekend?
I'm going to have to go with Kyle Weatherman. No, he only gets a few starts for the year. Yeah, he only gets a few starts for the year, so he's got to make the most of them, so I'm going to go with Kyle Weatherman.
I think he's a good pick. My pick is going to be Dalton Sargeant for exactly the reason that you brought up. He's got to make up some of the gap between second place and first place in the series point standings. And I think Iowa Speedway is an opportunity for him to do exactly that. So, again, that race is taking place this weekend, Saturday, July the 8th, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time. There will be live timing and scoring, as always, on ArcaRacing.com. But fans will also be able to keep an eye on this race I just lost my notes here. Give me a second while I get that back. Okay. They are going to be on MAV TV. If you have MAV TV, you'll be able to watch this race live on Saturday night. Otherwise, head on over to ArcaRacing.com. They will cover all 150 laps of this event, and it will be a fun race to watch without any doubts. Again, that is the Fans with Benefits of 150.
See, I'm actually trying to help Dalton Sargent, because those first few weeks I kept picking him to win and he didn't. And the week I didn't pick him is the week he won. So that's why I didn't pick him today.
Well, we'll see if I can bring him some luck then. I think I would love to see Dalton Sargent win this race and close up the points gap. Not that I'm not happy for Austin Theriault. I think he's been doing fantastic with his three wins. But I'd like to see him close up that gap a little bit and make it a little more exciting. And I think he's certainly capable of doing that. But let's head on over to Thompson Speedway Motorsports Park, located in Thompson, Connecticut. They're also racing on Saturday night, July the 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a 0.625-mile banked asphalt oval that they're racing this weekend. And, of course, fans should mark their calendars because this race will be broadcast on NBC Sports Network. I'm sorry, they don't have those details here today, so we don't have that. But I'm bringing it up because you need to check your local listings for when that broadcast is aired on NBC Sports Network. It will be a race that you do not want to miss, and it's definitely worth watching. A lot of times it's later during the night, but you can always set your DVR and broadcast, record this race so that you can watch the broadcast. It is the eighth race of 14 overall for the Can-Am Pro Series. They will be racing 65.5 miles over 100 laps on Saturday night. So I know we've got a lot of drivers we're watching out here at Thompson Speedway. MJ, who's your top driver to watch this weekend?
One that popped off just to see how he does, Ryan Preece. Is going to be running a Whelen Engineering Chevrolet number 31 for Ted Marsh. And he's a big modified driver up there. He's had some experience in the Xfinity Series. Be real interesting to see how he does in the K&N East Series here.
Absolutely, and it'll be good experience for him to be racing this K&N Pro Series. I know he's got some plans to race in NASCAR's top three here in the coming weeks. So we'll definitely keep our eye on what Ryan Preece is able to do this weekend. He's definitely a driver to keep your eye on. Now, what's interesting about this track is they are returning to Thompson in Connecticut, but it is a track that they've not had a lot of experience at. So it's going to be interesting to see what these drivers are able to do. Hunter Bayes sits fourth in the current point standings. He has one top five and five top ten finishes in the seven races they've raced so far this season. He's only one of only four drivers to post at least a top five. At least five top 10 finishes this season. He finished fourth at Bristol for his best finish so far this season. His first top five happened since Iowa last season. He's never competed at Thompson, but Hunter Bayes is certainly in the mix this season, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does this weekend at Thompson.
Now, speaking to other, comparing with talking about Preece, Doug Kobe in the number 43, Dunleavy Truck and Repairs, Mayhew Tools, Toyota, is also a four-time NASCAR Whelen Modified champion, making his first career series start. And he's got five career wins at Thompson in the Modified, And they're doing the throwback event. We know that NASCAR Monster Energy does this at Darlington. The East Series here is doing it at Thompson this year, and he will honor 1991 Thompson winner Mike McLaughlin as part of the throwback event.
Pretty cool event, and I know it's going to make the race that much more exciting. Another driver who's never competed at Thompson is Harrison Burton. He's currently in the series points lead with 6 top fives and 7 top tens this season. He won at Memphis for his 3rd win in a 4-race stretch, and he's the only driver to finish in the top 5 6 times this season, and one of only 2 drivers to finish in the top 10 in all 7 races. Part of what makes this race so interesting is we have a lot of drivers who've never competed there before, and it's going to be fun to see how well they do. Harrison Burton has been impressive this season. We'll see what he can do at Thompson this weekend.
Actually, in the event, I believe there's only one driver, Eddie McDonald, that has actually made starts there. As you said, they haven't raced there since 2009, so most of these guys don't have that experience that you were talking about. Sitting 5th in the overall standings is Chase Cabrie in the number 6 Max Siegel Incorporated Toyota, with 3 top 5s and 4 top 10s in the 6 races so far this season. Posted his career best finish of 2nd there at Memphis, and he won the pole for both legs of the twin 100s that we watched at South Boston back in May, which was his first 2 career poles. He finished 3rd in the most recent race at Berlin, which was his 3rd straight top 5, and he will be honoring 1987 Stafford Motor Speedway winner Tommy Houston as part of his paint scheme.
Okay, and another driver you can't take your eyes off in the Can-Am East is the Can-Am West points leader, Todd Gilliland, in that number 16 Napa Auto Parts Toyota. He has been on fire this season as well, and he won at Berlin their last time out here in the Can-Am East. Again, he's one of only 2 drivers to finish in the top 10 in all 7 races this season. He's currently 2nd in the Can-Am Pro Series East point standings with 4 top 5s and 7 top 10s through 7 races. He's going to be honoring Stubb Baden, who made more than 200 career starts in the series as part of the throwback event this weekend at Thompson Speedway.
And as I mentioned earlier, Eddie McDonald is making a start in the number 71 Grimm Construction Chevrolet, his first start since Bristol, doing just the part-time schedule. He won at Thompson in 2005 and is the only driver entered in this weekend's Can-Am Pro Series East with a win at the track. In 9 career starts at Thompson, McDonald has 1 win, 3 top 10s, and 5 qualifying efforts inside the top 10. And carries 7 career series wins, most recently at Bristol in 2014. And he'll be honoring Andy Santerre as a throwback.
You know, we've talked in some of our previews, we've talked a lot about Chase Purdy in the number 17 car. He's currently 3rd in the series point standings with 2 top 5s and 3 top 10s. And he finished a career-high 2nd in the first of the 2 100-lap events at South Boston, and he did the same thing last weekend at Berlin Speedway. So it's going to be interesting. He's also won his 2nd consecutive pole at Berlin, giving him 4 straight starts on the front row entering the race at Thompson. He's the highest-ranking rookie in the Can-Am East after 7 races, and he's going to be honoring Dale Shaw, the 1994 series champion, as part of the throwback event this weekend. Chase Purdy has been knocking on that door, and this could be the weekend that he finally breaks through.
Yeah, let me tell you, I was at Memphis, and he was so close. I mean, he dominated the first half plus some of that race. It's not going to be long before we see him win.
I totally agree. And that's who's going to be my race pick for the win this weekend. Who's your race pick for the win this weekend?
For the win, I would have to say I'm going to have to go with Harrison Burton. Especially when it comes to returning to some of these tracks that they haven't been to in a while or not at all. He's just been on top of his game. So I'm gonna go with Harrison Burton.
Okay, I think that's a great pick. You can't go wrong with Harrison Burton. He's done extremely well this season, along with Todd Gilliland. He's another driver that could really do well. But I think it's going to be Chase Purdy for the breakthrough. And if Harrison Burton wins again, he's going to keep his points lead and keep a strong season rolling on. The series point standings right now, Harrison Burton leads with 300 points in 7 races, followed by Todd Gilliland in second, at 281. Chase Purdy wants to close up the gap between third place and second place. He's at 254 points. But another driver that you may want to keep your eye on, Hunter Bayes, is only 3 points behind Chase Purdy. So Chase is going to want to add and extend his lead there. Excuse me.
One that I know doesn't get a lot of attention, I talked to him there at Memphis, Jay Beasley. Where did he go? I lost his line here, but he's been, here we go, from Las Vegas, Nevada,
in the
Honda generators.
Point standings.
Yep, there we go. Driving for Max Siegel. Again, he's been doing some hard fought top fives, has 5 top tens in the 7 races this year. So as you said, he's sitting 8th in points, but he's another one that they don't always seem to have the best car, but he's there at the end. You know, he gets the absolute most out of that car that he can.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, again, fans will want to head over to NASCAR Home Track's website. They have Race Central there, and fans will be able to watch every lap-by-lap action of what's happening throughout this race. This is a race, again, that will be televised, but it's a delayed broadcast on NBC Sports Network, and you'll need to check your local listings. Normally, we have that information, but we don't have it this week, so we're asking all fans to check your local listings to find out when that broadcast takes place. But throughout the race, you can follow along at Race Central at NASCAR Home Track's website. To see what happens for this event this weekend. Now, I want to bring up here, too, there is a penalty report for the Berlin Speedway. There were 2 penalties that were handed out from last weekend. Travis Miller had an on-track incident, and it was considered a safety issue. They were fined $250. They were suspended from NASCAR until the fine is placed or paid, and they have been placed on NASCAR probation through the rest of this year. So, again, that's Travis Miller getting an on-track incident procedure penalty. Also getting a penalty this from last weekend, a behavioral penalty for Steve Gettings. He's a crew member. For conduct and physical confrontation with a NASCAR official. He's been suspended for the next 2 NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series East events and placed on NASCAR probation again through the rest of this season, December 31st of 2017. 2 big penalties coming out of that race at Berlin last weekend, Jay.
Yeah, I know how competitive guys get, and you know they're racing with it with these guys week in and week out. I hate to see that tempers get the best of them, but that's how competitive they are and how competitive this series is.
Yes, it's a very competitive series. There's a lot of visibility because these are the feeder series a lot of these drivers end up in the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series on their way to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So a lot of times you can see these drivers as they're developing their skills to race in NASCAR's top three national series. And it is very competitive because we all know how hard it is for these drivers to get the sponsorship dollars that they need to compete in NASCAR's top three.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to recover from that, not have it hurt them too bad in the points there.
Absolutely. I didn't see any points taken away there, but they're certainly going to have to be on their P's and Q's, if you will, for the rest of this season. All right. We're ready to move on to the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series for the Buckle Up in Your Truck 225. That will be at Kentucky Speedway this Thursday. That's tomorrow night, July the 6th. The race should start sometime around 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but Fox Sports 1 will start their coverage at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, along with MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Drivers will be racing 225 miles over 150 laps. Stage 1 and Stage 2 are in 35-lap segments, with Stage 1 ending on lap 35, Stage 2 on lap 70. The final stage, of course, ends on the last lap, 150. So we have a lot to cover in the Camping World Truck Series. I'll tell you what, John Hunter Nemechek has two in a row. A lot of people are wondering if he's going to be able to make it three in a row this weekend with his magic number 8 in the Camping World Truck Series. What do you think, MJ?
What he's done in the last couple of weeks, again, them being on what they call a shoestring budget, has just been phenomenal. You know, he's doing so much with less and has made it look effortless, especially in the last two Camping World Truck Series at Gateway in Iowa, as he snatched the lead late and parked his number 8 in Ninco Motorsport Chevrolet in victory lane. He's now ascending the Ascending Stars, banked two wins and rolls to Kentucky this weekend for the Buckle Up in Your Truck 250, looking to become the 8th driver in series history to win 3 consecutive races or more. If Nemechek pulls it off, he will put himself up there with the likes of Ron Hornaday, who holds the series record for most consecutive wins with 5 back in 2009. And Ron Hornaday also won 3 straight in 1997. The feat's also been accomplished by Johnny Benson in 2008, Greg Biffle in 2000, Todd Bodine in 2005, Kyle Busch in 2011 and 2014, Kevin Harvick in 2011, and Mike Skinner in 1996 and in 2007. So he's got a solid chance of joining that list. As I said, there's some big names there. In his 2 career starts at Kentucky, John Hunter Nemechek has posted an average finish of 6.5, including finishing in the runner-up position last season. So he definitely could get it done, and they've been on such a roll.
They have been on a roll, and I'll tell you what, with an average finish of 6.5 and finishing runner-up last season, that has to give John Hunter Nemechek a lot of confidence rolling into Kentucky this weekend for tomorrow night's Buckle Up in Your Truck 225. I think a lot of people are keeping their eye on him this weekend. And as you said, what he's done on a shoestring budget with Nemco Motorsports is nothing short of phenomenal. So can he do it again? That's the big question on everybody's minds for this race tomorrow night. Now there's some other drivers, though, that we'll want to keep our eye on. Johnny Sauter with DMS Racing is the current points leader. There's also Kyle Busch's Christopher Bell. He's second in the series point standings. And then Brad Keselowski's Chase Briscoe is third. These are the same 3 drivers that have led in stage points this season, and we'll have to see what they do in this race tomorrow night. Johnny Sauter's has led the series point standings going all the way back to Martinsville back in April, and he's opened up the gap between second place to 42 points following Iowa. He's a big key to Sauter's point standings is his ability to gather those stage points. He's amassed 134, the series most, for stage points. That's 30.9% of his driver standings total, which is 433 points. So this has been a really strong season for Johnny Sauter, the defending point, champion in the Camping World Truck Series. In nine starts this season, he's had one win at Dover, and he has a series most with seven top fives, and his average finish this season, which is the series best, is 4.2. So I'd say if there's anybody that John Hunter Nemechek has to watch and compete against at Kentucky this weekend, it's got to be Johnny Sauter. He's made 10 starts at Kentucky, posting two top fives, five top tens, and his average finish at Kentucky is 11.2. So let's go ahead and talk about Christopher Bell, MJ.
All right. And Christopher Bell, as you said, is currently second in the series championship standings, 42 behind Johnny Sauter. And he's got three poles with two wins in Atlanta and Texas, six top fives, which is the second most, and eight top tens, which is currently tied with Johnny Sauter for the series most. And Bell's become one of the best at accumulating the stage points, as we talked about, this season with 106, which is the second most through the first nine races. His stage points totals account for 27.1% of his total driver standings of 391. And you have to expect Bell to continue his assault on the stage points this weekend, as he's made two series starts at Kentucky Speedway, posting one top five and an average finish of 10.5. Finishing fourth in this event last year.
Well, another driver who's been real impressive is Chase Briscoe. He's third in the series point standings. He's 76 points behind Johnny Sauter, and he's a rookie. That's what's amazing about Chase Briscoe. I love the backstory for Chase Briscoe. 2 years ago, he was sweeping the floors at Cunningham Motorsports. He won the ARCA Racing Series Championship last season and is now racing in NASCAR's top three in the Camping World Truck Series. As the rookie, he's third in the series point standings. He's posted two poles, four top fives, and five top tens. He has an average finish of 8.7. His fourth best in the series with that average finish. And he's excelled at accruing those stage points. He has 102. Again, that's the third most behind Bell and Sauter. And it accounts for 28.5% of his total point standings. This weekend at Kentucky will be his track debut, but I would not count Chase Briscoe out. He has an average finish of 10.8 on 1.5-mile tracks this season, including his runner-up finish at Texas Motor Speedway earlier this season. So he's been very impressive this season, and I certainly think that Chase Briscoe is the driver to watch this weekend at Kentucky, another 1.5-mile track that he'll be looking to do well at this season.
Certainly expect him to be a contender for sure. Also entered in this weekend's race in the number 46 Toyota. As we mentioned, that Kentucky's got all three of the top three series. Kyle Busch is going for the triple header. There's only been one sweep in national series history, and that record belongs to Kyle Busch. He won all three races at Bristol. Yep, at Bristol Motor Speedway during August of 2010. So this year he's going to try and match his record and complete in all three of the series, including the Buckle Up in Your Truck 225. This weekend will be his fourth start of the season. His previous three starts, he has two wins at Kansas and Charlotte, average finish of 9.3. At Kentucky, he's made six series starts in the truck series, posting two wins in 2011, 2014, with three top fives, five top tens, and an average finish of 8.0. In this race last season, he finished 30th after being caught up in an accident, but he's definitely showed his strength at Kentucky.
Well, Kyle Busch is certainly going to be looking to build up to that Monster Energy Cup Series race that will be taking place on Saturday night by racing the triple header this weekend with the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. His season has not been going according to par, and he's looking to build some momentum, and Kentucky Speedway could certainly make that happen for him, especially if he were to win all three races. So certainly something for fans to keep their eyes on this weekend with Kyle Busch. But let's take a look at the playoff bubble. There's only seven races left, MJ, for drivers to get that victory to seal their place in the playoffs for the Camping World Truck Series this year. So with that, the drivers that have won, four drivers, Christopher Bell, John Hunter Nemechek, Johnny Sauter, and Kaz Grala, are the only drivers who have locked themselves in for the eight playoff spots. That means there are four playoff spots that are still available, and there are drivers that are looking to fill up those spots in these next seven races. Chase Briscoe, Matt Crafton are currently two winless drivers that have the largest points cushion ahead of Ryan Truex, who's ninth, and he's the first spot that's outside the playoff bubble. So Briscoe is making his track debut at Kentucky this weekend. We talked a little bit about that earlier. Crafton, on the other hand, is making his 19th series start at Kentucky. In his previous 18 starts at Kentucky, he's posted one win in 2015, five top fives, 13 top tens, and his average finish at Kentucky Speedway is 10.4. So next up is Ben Rhodes. He's 18 points. He's plus 18 points on the positive side. He's seventh in the playoff outlook. And then Grant Infinger is in the eighth place. That's the last and final playoff spot. So those guys are just inside that top eight ahead of Ryan Truex. But both Rhodes and Infinger need a win as soon as possible because it will take it could take a very bad turn if they're not sealed in with that victory. So a win will seal the deal for both of those drivers. And for Rhodes, this is a home track for him. He's going to be racing in front of his home crowd at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. And even though it's a track debut, he made his track debut at Kentucky last season, starting ninth. He finished 13th, but he'll be looking for that victory in front of his hometown crowd for sure. Grant Infinger, as we mentioned, is in the ninth place. In eighth place, just ahead of Ryan Truex. And he's going to have his work cut out for him to hold on to that final playoff spot because he's been very consistent, posting four top fives, six top tens, and an average finish of 8.2 in nine starts. But he's only made one series start at Kentucky. That, again, was last season. He started 17th and finished 12th. So he's going to have to do better than that this weekend at Kentucky in order to hold on to that eighth place spot. One thing that's kind of in Rhodes and Infinger's favor this weekend is that Ryan Truex has not raced at Kentucky Speedway before, so this is a debut for Ryan Truex, but I certainly wouldn't count him out.
Now, as far as the actual points go, right behind Truex, as you mentioned, in the ninth spot, you also have Noah Gregson sitting in the ninth place in points, but because Kaz Grala has a win, gets to bump above him and in. So he's 10th ranked as far as the playoff seeding would go. And Austin Cindric. Now, points-wise, there's quite a gap back to him. Truex is at 292. Noah Gregson is at 255, and Austin Cindric is at 217. So those are ones that they're to the point almost already of probably looking at having to get a win to get in. But, you know, if one of those makes it gets a win, that's going to push that bubble even further down, and that would seriously tighten that up.
Absolutely. That's why you cannot take these races for granted. And I think the closer we get, we're on our way to the countdown in all three series because they're past the halfway point. They're counting down to that last race of the regular season. And as we get closer to that last race, these drivers are going to get more and more intense about getting that victory to get into the Chase playoffs. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about the top drivers right now. There are drivers that are not in that top nine that could get a win and put themselves into the playoffs and jump ahead of these other drivers. So they're going to be fighting for those victories all the way down the list in the Camping World Truck Series, starting with Kentucky Speedway and from every race here on out.
That's right, and it makes for some good, interesting races down the stretch here. As we talked about Kyle Busch, there's a couple other moonlighting drivers, if you will, being that it's a night race. Tommy Regan, Ross Chastain, J.J. Yaley, and Brandon Jones will also be competing in the NASCAR Camping World Trucks race this weekend that aren't regular series points contenders.
And that always makes it interesting too, MJ, because these guys are not racing for points. They're racing for the win. And they're looking to take a win away from these Camping World Truck Series regulars. So that makes it even more imperative that these guys have a good night at Kentucky Speedway on Thursday night. Now, we also want to take a look at the Rookie of the Year points because that's been an interesting contest between Grant Enfinger at 122 points, followed by Chase Briscoe. We've already talked about how well he's been doing this season. He's only 5 points behind Grant Enfinger. So those two drivers are looking to battle it out. Again, every race from here on out, they're either wanting to extend their points lead or close up that gap. So keep your eye on these guys for sure. Noah Gregson is third. He's 24 points back. Kaz Grala is fourth at 30 points back. But this is going to be a fun race to watch. I think this has been one of the best years to watch the rookies in NASCAR's all three of NASCAR's series this season.
Well, without a doubt, they've been super. And again, when they went with the playoff system across all three of the top series, the playoff bubble that we're talking about, watching that up until the playoffs has been super exciting to watch.
It has been, and it's going to, like I say, with the countdown taking place as we speak. 7, 6, 5, 4 with the Camping World Truck Series, it's just going to get more and more intense with every race that takes place. Again, this is taking place Thursday night, July the 6th. The race should start sometime around 7:30, but your coverage will be on Fox Sports 1 starting at 7 p.m., as well as MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. So, buckle up in your truck. 225 at Kentucky Speedway is certainly a race you will not want to miss tomorrow night.
And I got the practice times here. I haven't yet. I was going to give the fans
okay,
here a quick rundown.
Ahead.
Kyle Busch was fastest in that number 46. Christopher Bell, Kaz Grala, Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter were the top five, followed by Brandon Jones, Austin Hill, Noah Gregson, Justin Haley, and John Hunter Nemechek as your top 10. Grant Enfinger, Myatt Schneider, Austin Cindric, Ben Rhodes, and Parker Kligerman. Chase Briscoe, Ryan Truex, Stuart Friesen, Cody Coughlin, and Regan Smith. That's your top 20 in practice this afternoon.
Okay, yeah, that's quite a rundown. And actually, there were two practices that took place this weekend, or have already taken place. Did you give the final practice list or the first practice?
That's the only practice I got listed. And I believe that was first practice because that was up already this afternoon.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the final practice that also took place today. It started at 6:35 p.m. Eastern Time. Kyle Busch led that point, led that practice, followed by Christopher Bell, Kaz Grala, Matt Crafton, and Johnny Sauter, rounding out your top five. The next five are Brandon Jones, Austin Hill, Noah Gregson, Justin Haley, and John Hunter Nemechek round out that top 10 in the final practice at Kentucky Speedway for the Camping World Truck Series. So let's go ahead. Who's your race winner pick?
I'm gonna go with Chase Briscoe.
I think it's a good pick for that Camping World Truck Series. But I'm gonna pull for John Hunter Nemechek to pull off three in a row and do the unthinkable on a shoestring budget at Kentucky Speedway. He's good on the 1.5-mile tracks, and I think there's a great possibility that John Hunter Nemechek will make it three in a row this weekend.
I would certainly like to see him put his name up there at those guys that we talked about. That would certainly be something.
And fans, like I said, you do not want to miss this race because there's a chance that history will be made if John Hunter Nemechek does make it three in a row this weekend. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to our NASCAR Xfinity Series race. The ALSCO 300 at Kentucky Speedway will take place this Friday, July the 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. NBC Sports Network will start their coverage at 7:30 p.m. Along with PRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. They are racing 300 miles over 200 laps, and the stage one and stage two are 45-lap increments, with stage two ending on lap 90, stage one on lap 45. The final stage will end on lap 200. And again, there's a lot going on in this NASCAR Xfinity Series. I think this has been one of the better years for the Xfinity Series. And with the stage point racing, it's made this series a lot more fun to watch. And I think it's going to be great to watch Friday night under the lights at Kentucky Speedway. And it's going to be a great playoff preview, I think, for these drivers this weekend, because not only is this a preview of the playoffs, because they are going to be racing at Kentucky Speedway in the playoffs. So this is kind of a testing ground, if you will, for a lot of these playoff drivers.
Yeah, it's definitely twofold. As you mentioned, the 1.5-mile track there in the Bluegrass State have some great racing action this weekend. It is the first race of the opening round of the 2017 NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. So the competitors Friday night will not only have their chance to go for the win and lock themselves into the playoffs, but also prepare for that postseason race itself. Getting off to a good start in the playoffs is key, as the first two rounds are just three races each. The round of 12, which opens the 2017 NASCAR Xfinity Series postseason, includes Kentucky Speedway, Dover International Speedway, and Charlotte Motor Speedway. So that they want to be dialed in at this track, you know, so that they can come out the gate strong once the playoffs open.
Yeah, Absolutely. Moving on in the playoffs, though, the round of eight is going to be at Kansas Speedway, Texas Motor Speedway, and Phoenix Raceway. And, of course, the last race for the Championship Four will be at Homestead, Miami in November. Last season's Midsummer Kentucky event was a preview of what would happen later in the season. And while Kyle Busch won last July's race, Daniel Suarez was third. Elliott Sadler was sixth. And they were some of the highest finishing championship contenders. Later that season, during the playoff opener at Kentucky Speedway, Sadler won that race and Suarez finished runner-up. Both went on to make it to the Championship Four at Homestead, Miami, with Suarez edging out Sadler for that title for the Xfinity Series. So again, if history is any indicator, this could be a great preview of what could happen for the Xfinity Series moving forward.
And as we talk about that, there's top five drivers in the points that are needing the win. As we talked about, Kentucky Speedway is a great opportunity for them to get a win and lock themselves in. The five drivers that we're going to highlight here, the first being Elliott Sadler. He's currently the number one junior motorsports Chevrolet Camaro, currently leading the point standings, and is a comfortable 276 points ahead of 13th points in the standings, which is the cutoff line being 12th. But he has yet to get a win and lock himself into the playoffs. So although he hasn't won since the playoff Kentucky race last season, which has been 21 races, he's had an impressive 2017 season, posting the series most top fives, which is 7, most top tens at 13. And he'll be strong this weekend with 11 starts at Kentucky. He's posted one win in 2016 with 5 top fives, 8 top tens, and an average finish of 7.4.
Another driver on that list is Brennan Poole in the number 48 Chip Ganassi Racing car. He's the second highest ranked driver in the series point standings without a win, but he is 101 points ahead of 13th position. Now, in the Xfinity Series, it's the top 12 that go to the playoffs. Poole made the playoffs as a rookie last year, and he's certainly hoping to follow that up in his sophomore season. Though he's posted 5 top 10s in 2017, again, he's still looking for that first win this season. Kentucky is a track well suited for Poole to score his first win, however. He has 4 series starts at this track, and he has posted 2 top 10s. So if he can improve upon that performance, Kentucky could be a track that he could post a win this weekend at that 1.5 mile speedway.
Another one to keep your eye on there is the number 21 Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet Camaro driven by Daniel Hemric. He's currently 5th in the series standings, 91 points ahead of that 13th place, the first position outside the playoffs. And he's proving to be an emerging star for Richard Childress Racing, having posted a pole, 2 top 5s, and 5 top 10s already this season. This will be his series track debut at Kentucky, but has 2 Camping World Truck Series starts at the 1.5-mile track, with a best finish of 3rd last season.
Yeah, Daniel Hemric is a very capable driver. It'll be fun to see what he does in the Xfinity Series here this weekend. Another driver I'm keeping my eye on is Cole Custer. He drives the 00 Stuart Haas Racing Ford. He's another one of the Sunoco Rookie of the Year contenders with a lot of talent, but he's been wrestling through a roller coaster season. He's currently 7th in the series point standings, posting 3 DNFs in the first 7 races. But don't let that fool you. Cole Custer has a lot of talent. He's now 60 points ahead of the 13th place finish, 13th place in the point standings. And he's posted 2 top 5s and 6 top 10s this season, along with those DNFs. This will be his second career start at Kentucky, and he made his track debut there last season, but it wasn't one of his best finishes. He started eighth, finished 32nd, but Cole Custer is a man on a mission. He wants to be in these playoffs. He's just inside that cutoff line. He needs a win to really be in these playoffs, and Kentucky's certainly an opportunity for him to do that.
And he's certainly been coming on strong lately, so we'll hopefully he'll continue that. The next one we're talking about is Matt Tift in the number 19 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota Camry. Now, he's stepping into the championship-winning car from last season that Daniel Suarez vacated. So he's stepping in as a rookie contender and has handled the opportunity so well. He's eighth in the overall NASCAR Xfinity point standings, 57 ahead of the playoff cutoff of 13th. His 2017 season has seen four top 10 finishes. He should do well again this weekend. He's made two series starts at Kentucky, finished in the top 10 in both, posting the average finish of 7.5. So he, too, should be a contender and be right there, possibly even battling for that win.
Absolutely. We've been talking a lot about three in a row at Kentucky Speedway. We've got John Hunter Nemechek hoping to make it three in a row. We've got Kyle Busch hoping to win all three races this weekend. Well, another Sunoco rookie for us to spotlight is Junior Motorsports' William Byron. He's another driver looking to make it three in a row this weekend. No Xfinity Series driver is hotter right now than William Byron. He won. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's looking to make it back-to-back wins between Iowa, Daytona, and now Kentucky. He heads to Kentucky Speedway to become the first rookie in series history to win three races in a row and the eighth driver all time to accomplish that milestone. If Byron does it this weekend, he will join Sam Ard, the only driver to win four straight, and he did that in 1983. He had three straight races, race wins in 1984. Kyle Busch did it in 2008 and 2013. He also won three straight twice in 2016. Dale Earnhardt Jr. did it in 1999, Harry Gant in 1991, Mark Martin in 1997, and Ryan Newman did it in 2005, along with Larry Pearson, who did it in 1987. This weekend is Byron's first series start at Kentucky Speedway, but as a 19-year-old in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, he won at that track last season in the Camping World Truck Series and came oh so close to being the champion in that series. That was a big disappointment for Byron, but he's looking to go after that win at Kentucky this weekend for the Xfinity Series.
And that would be amazing for him to do that as a rookie, but we saw what he did as a rookie last year in the truck season, in the truck series, almost winning the championship and setting a record of six wins total for a rookie. So he certainly is one that is capable of it. And when we're talking
absolutely.
About...
Absolutely, and I think he could do it.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's capable of it. And in the Junior Motorsports equipment this year, they've been the best of the best. So there's no reason to doubt that he can't. Talking about setting records, we talked about Kyle Busch trying to do the triple, and he's there for one reason only, and that's to win. He is only two checkered flags away from 175 NASCAR National Series victories. So since Richard Petty has earned the nickname the King, it's only fitting that Kyle Busch could be called the Prince, as he's second only to Petty, who has 200 on the NASCAR National Series wins list. He currently has 173, And this weekend, the winningest driver in NASCAR Xfinity Series history with 87 is looking to defend his victory at Kentucky Speedway and come another notch closer to that, to the King's total. He currently has 38 Monster Energy wins, 87 Xfinity wins, and 48 Camping World Truck wins for a total of 173, which again is only two shy of the 175 NASCAR National Series wins. He's made 9 starts at Kentucky, posting 2 wins in 2004 and 2016, 7 top fives, and an average finish of 6.8. And he won last season's truck race from the pole and dominated the event, leading 185 of 201 laps. He won't be the only driver, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup driver, that's competing this weekend in the Allscope 300. Paul Menard, Ty Dillon, Ryan Blaney, Eric Jones, Joey Logano, and Kevin Harvick will also be making the starts in the Friday night event for the Xfinity Series.
Okay. Again, Kyle Busch is looking to make some history this weekend as well with that 175 milestone for National Series victories. He's been impressive. It's going to be, if anybody can challenge the records that have been set by Richard Petty, it's got to be Kyle Busch. So, again, that is a big milestone for fans to keep their eyes on this weekend. Kyle Busch is not done. Yes, he's having a rough season this season, but he is looking to build momentum, especially as we're going on this countdown before the playoffs begin. Kyle Busch, don't count him out, ever. And it's going to be fun to see if he's able to pull off the triple trifecta for all three races this weekend, but also pull off, you know, getting his 173rd checkered flag in NASCAR's top three. Who's your pick to win this weekend, MJ?
Well, I think one of those Cup guys might be a factor in it, obviously, Kyle, but I'm going to go with Elliott Sadler. Sadler hasn't won, as we mentioned, in 21 races. I think Elliott Sadler wants that win to ensure himself of being locked in.
Absolutely. And I think Elliott Sadler is a great pick. He's currently leading the series point standings, but without that win, he's not locked in necessarily. So a win just gives you that much of a comfort zone. You know, William Byron can compete against some of the best drivers, and we know Kyle Busch is one of those best drivers. It's going to be tough for him to beat Kyle Busch because Kyle Busch is going to be on a mission this weekend. So I'm going to say William Byron is going to be, if not the race winner, he's going to be the top finishing Xfinity Series driver this weekend and possibly make some history himself this weekend. I'm going for the history-making drivers.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say, that's both so far you've taken the guys going for that three-peat, so.
Yep. But so is Kyle Busch, so it's going to be tough.
No, and Busch is going to be tough
all
to beat.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, to do it like you said, he's going to have to go through Kyle Busch. You know, unless he has a problem, he is always there fighting for that win, if not taking it.
Absolutely. And again, keeping in mind, it's not been his best season. He's struggling to get that momentum going. This could be the weekend that it happens, but it could also just as easily be one of those weekends that things don't go well for him, which will, of course, open the door for these Xfinity Series drivers. You got to tune in to find out what happens. It's going to be fun to watch. All right, again, that race is this Friday night starting at 8 p.m. Tune in to NBC Sports Network for the race. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is racing the Quaker State 400 presented by Advanced Auto Parts Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time at Kentucky Speedway. And again, this race will be covered on NBC Sports Network starting at 7 p.m. Along with PRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. They are racing 400.5 miles over 267 laps. The increments for the first and second stage are at 80 laps each, with the final stage ending on lap 267. So again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is another driver looking to go back this weekend. He's won at the two restrictor plate tracks this season. He won last weekend at Daytona. Can he make it back-to-back this weekend at Kentucky Speedway?
Well, Roush Racing has definitely returned this season, and the two victories at the Super Speedways, obviously a great boost. He's locked himself into the playoffs, without a doubt, picking up his second victory. And the end of that race, he surged past David Reagan in overtime in Saturday's Coke Zero 400, powered by Coca-Cola. But that puts him up there with Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex, Kyle Larson, and Brad Keselowski as the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series drivers with multiple victories this season. So that establishes him as one of the top contenders, and he's having a career year overall. He's tied his career best with four top fives already, claims a career high seven top tens. And as you said, he's going to hope to carry that momentum into the Saturday's Quaker State 400. He has a high finish of 11th in four starts at the 1.5-mile track. And during one of his interviews, they said that their restrictor plate program was on top of its game. They got a little bit more work to do on that 1.5-mile speed that they need. This would be the time right now with his two wins and locking himself in, they can work on that. So when it comes playoff time too, I think this is one that will be a benefactor to them, being able to work on that and not have to worry about necessarily getting the wins or being on that playoff bubble.
Yeah, that's a good point. But there's a lot to be said for momentum too. And I'm sure he was pretty happy to win that second restrictor plate race. And we know Kentucky Speedway can be a fast track. We'll see what he does this weekend. But, yeah, it's great to see Roush Fenway Racing kind of turning the ship around and having some success in 2017. Now, another driver who's really good at Kentucky Speedway is Brad Keselowski. He's going for a record fourth win at Kentucky this weekend. This is going to sound corny, but can he be the Kentucky Fried King this weekend by going for his fourth victory in the Bluegrass State? Kentucky Speedway has hosted six Monster Energy Cup Series races, and Keselowski has won a track record three of those six races. He's going for his fourth win there this weekend, and in addition to four victories, that Team Penske driver claims three top fives, five top tens, and an average finish of 8.2. He's led a track record 483 laps. He's fifth in the series point standings. He's 132 points behind Kyle Larson, who leads the series point standings. But he's tied with Larson for third in playoff points with 13. He got those 13 points with his two wins and three stage victories. So Keselowski is certainly one of the drivers to beat at Kentucky Speedway this weekend.
Guaranteed to be a factor. Another one we've talked about a couple
Absolutely.
Of times here, and I can't believe I have to say this. At this point in the season, Busch is hoping to grab his first win of the season at Kentucky, as well as Joe Gibbs, because none of the Gibbs guys have won yet. So he's currently third in the overall point standings for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, 108 points behind leader Kyle Larson, but has yet to win this season. He's going to try and change that this weekend at Kentucky, where he's visited Victory Lane twice in 2011 and 2015. In addition to those two wins, he's got four top fives, five top tens, and a 5.2 average finish in the six starts there. He's never finished lower than 12th, and his streak of three consecutive top 10 finishes was snapped last weekend at Daytona after finishing 20th. He's picked up four stage wins, which gives him four playoff points, six top fives, nine top tens, and a 13.1 average finish this season. So those stats all sound really good for a normal driver. For Kyle Busch, that's not what he wants, and we've seen that. You know, he's finished in second or third,
yeah.
And he's not happy because he's looking for that win.
Yeah, he's very anxious to make things happen for his number 18 team and to put himself into those playoffs with a victory during the regular season. So he's going to be a man on a mission this weekend without a doubt. Kyle Larson is showing that he's one of the future stars of NASCAR. In 17 races this season, he has led the series point standings by 18 points over Martin Truex Jr. Larson's 10.2 average finish is the top of the list for the Monster Energy Cup Series. He ranks second in average running position at 8.9. His driver rating is 105.8. And he is third in total laps led this season at 721, which represents 14.6% of the total laps run. Larson has struggled at Kentucky Speedway throughout his Cup Series career. In three state starts at that track, he's never finished higher than 19th place. That doesn't sound very good for Kyle Larson, but let me just say, this has been a breakout season for Kyle Larson. So looking at what he's done in the past is almost a moot point so far this season. I would not count Kyle Larson out at Kentucky Speedway for Friday night.
That's right. In this case, when we're looking at talking about the difference between Kyle Busch, can't believe he hasn't won yet. This year we look at stats and we're like, yeah, Kyle Larson's not the one to look at. But this year he's smashed all of his previous bests at all the tracks he's been at, picking up those two wins. With what we've talked about in each of the series now, though, we got to look at that playoff watch. We're down to nine races left for the drivers to earn postseason berths. Now, in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, 16 drivers go into the playoffs. We have 10 different winners. One of those would be 11, but Joey Logano's was, if you recall, an encumbered win, so it doesn't count. So the following drivers would get in today if the season were to end. It'd be Jimmy Johnson, who's got the three wins and 16 playoff points. Kyle Larson with two wins, 13 playoff points. Martin Truex, two wins, 21 points, a series high. Brad Keselowski, two wins, 13 points. Ricky Stenhouse, we just talked about, he's got two wins and 10 playoff points. Kevin Harvick picked up his win out in Sonoma and has eight playoff points. Ryan Blaney, one win, 8 points. Kurt Busch, winning the Daytona 500, has one win and 5 points. Ryan Newman, one win, 5 points of Phoenix. Charlotte was Austin Dillon with one win, 5 points. And then Kyle Busch, now we're getting into the drivers that don't have the wins. Kyle Busch is 117 points above Joey Logano at that cutoff line and has four playoff points. Chase Elliott is 82 points up and has two playoff points. Jamie McMurray has 62 points up, hasn't accumulated any playoff points yet. Denny Hamlin is 56 up with two playoff points. Clint Bowyer is 27 points to the good, no playoff points. Matt Kenseth is 3 to the good with 2 playoff points. The first four out would be Joey Logano, who is 3 points below Matt Kenseth on that cutoff line. And again, he doesn't have any playoff points because he doesn't get any for that encumbered win. Eric Jones is 56 back. Daniel Suarez is 88 back, and Trevor Bayne is 91 back. Keep in mind that the win gets the driver into the playoffs. And then we have a list of drivers who have visited Victory Lane at the upcoming tracks. Kentucky's would be Kyle Busch and Matt Kenseth as previous winners that are looking to get their win there. And then our next race is, what, New Hampshire? Also Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Boyer, Hamlin, and Kane all have victories there.
At Indianapolis is Kyle Busch, Jamie McMurray, Paul Menard. And at Pocono, we're looking at previous winners Hamlin, Kenseth, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Casey Kane, and Chris Buescher as previous winners at that track that have not gotten a victory yet this season.
Then the next two would be Watkins Glen, which is Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, and A.J. Allmendinger, followed by Michigan, which is Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Casey Kane.
Hearing a lot of the same names here. I'll go with the last three that are on the list here. We're talking Bristol, Darlington, and Richmond. Kyle Busch is on all three of those lists. So is Denny Hamlin. So is Matt Kenseth. Other driver, Earnhardt is on the list for Bristol and Richmond. Kane is on the list for Bristol and Richmond. And Boyer is on the list for Richmond. So those drivers all have a chance. They've won at these tracks, the last nine tracks that they have left before the playoffs begin. But they do not yet have a win this season. Going to be fun to see what happens in this Xfinity Series. I'm sorry, in this Cup Series, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
And if you look
who's
at that,
who's your favorite driver to win this weekend?
I was going to say, just real quick, if you look at that list of those nine, as you mentioned, Kyle Busch, the only one he is not on is Pocono. And Kenseth was on 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 of the nine, as well as Hamlin's on 5. So we expect those winners to, or those drivers to pick up that win, even though they haven't gotten it yet this so far this season.
Yeah, and trust me, these drivers are doing everything they possibly can to get win to be in these playoffs this season. It means so much to be a part of the playoffs and to be able to get that kind of exposure for your sponsors. This is certainly very, very important for all drivers who are racing in any of NASCAR's top series. So with that, MJ, any news you want to make sure that we touch on before we close out our show tonight? We're down to the last 8 minutes here.
No, I don't. Let me see what we got. I don't recall seeing any
big
headlines.
Well, before you do that, I'm gonna take a step back here real quick, MJ, because
okay. We
did not give our race winner picks for this weekend at Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You asked me that. I was going to say, give me a second. I was going to flip a coin, but I decided I need probably an 8 or a 10-sided dice to pick a winner from this group. I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. His history there, I think he picks up his fourth win at Kentucky. So I'll go with Brad Keselowski.
Oh, you took my pick. That's who I was going to go with is Brad Keselowski because he is so good at that track. Although he has some wins already, he's going to make it harder, I think, for those drivers that don't have a win to be able to pick it up here at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. I'm going to go ahead and just stick with Brad Keselowski. The other driver that I guess I could go with, he doesn't have the best record here at this track, but that is Martin Truex Jr. His average finish is 13.2. But I'm looking here. Another driver that we might want to keep our eye on, he does not have a win yet this season. Again, his season has not been going according to par, but he has a 5.2 average finish at Kentucky Speedway. And it seems weird that I'm going to call him the dark horse, but because he hasn't had a win this season. That's the only reason I'm saying he could be a dark horse this weekend. It's Matt Kenseth. He's got 107.9 driver rating at Kentucky Speedway with an average finish of 5.2. It's hard not to at least point him out. He does have a victory at this track with 3 top fives and 6 top tens. So keep your eye on Matt Kenseth to see what he's going to do this weekend. Jokey
yeah,
Grayson
again, like
is
I said,
looking for a turnaround as well.
And again, Hamlin is another one that, I mean, he's consistently right there, just hasn't gotten that win. He could be another one. Like you said, you hate to call him a dark horse, but in the 6 starts, he's got 2 top fives, 2 top tens, having led 76 laps and an average finish of 9.5. So he's another one that's why I said I almost need that 10-sided dice to pick one out of the group.
It is. Now, one of the news stories that kind of came out this week is that Roush Fenway Racing used to be a four-car team. They cut back to just 2 teams in 2017. They're seeing some success this season with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. getting those 2 restrictor plate wins. But Trevor Bayne has also been seeing some success this season with Roush Fenway Racing. But they've announced that they're going to stick with just 2 teams for the 2018 season as well. And they're going to also field an entry in the Xfinity Series in 2018 as well.
You know,
what
I kind of have mixed feelings. Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of have mixed feelings on that. Obviously, shrinking down to the 2-car team and being able to focus on those 2 and implement things, you know, quicker with only 2 cars is good for them, and they're winning, and I like that. The only thing I don't like is the original plan was they have a charter that they lent to JTD Daugherty and Chris Buescher. If they don't bring that back, I believe then they have to sell that charter. If I'm not mistaken, because they leased it this year and they're only allowed to lease it once every 5 years.
Okay, so yeah, that's definitely something that this team is working on, is to rebuilding their strength, especially with Ford as their manufacturer. Ford has had success with Team Penske, and the big question the last couple of seasons is, you know, if Team Penske is having great success with Ford, what's going on with Roush Fenway Racing? So, yeah, it's going to take some time to completely build on that, it's just really good to see them having some success this season. Another team that I think we need to keep our eye on as we think about 2018 is Stewart Haas Racing. Kevin Harvick signed an extension with them last May. Clint Bowyer is in the first year of his contract with Stewart Haas Racing. But 2 drivers that are not locked in for next season are Kurt Busch and Danica Patrick. I know that their contracts expire at all different times, but we're starting to get into that time of the year that we can start talking about silly season and what are some of the changes that are potential changes for the 2018 season, and this is certainly one of those. A lot of people have thought that Danica Patrick needs a win in order for her to stay with Stewart Haas Racing. What are your thoughts there?
This is one of those, there's always so many wild rumors out there. There's a possibility that decision has already been made and that a win wouldn't even secure that if they've already made that decision. I believe she is under contract through next year, but there's an option for the team to pull it a year early. Like I said, nothing official has come out. That, again, like I said, a lot of the talk is just that speculation and rumor. But they, yeah, some people feel that even a win at this point wouldn't even secure that if they've made that decision already, which I don't, again, they haven't said that they have. I would like to see her stay in this sport. You know, if she isn't renewed with Stuart Haas, I don't know that she would be able to get a ride somewhere else. So I'm hoping that she's able to stay with Stuart Haas and continue in the sport.
Okay, and Kurt Busch, too, is another part of that story. We all know Kurt Busch's history, but I think he's done well winning the Daytona 500 with Stuart Haas Racing. Again, these decisions may already be made. This is all speculation and just part of the silly season conversation, but something for fans to keep their eyes on. We are coming down to the end of the show here, and I know that MJ has already submitted an article to us. We talked about it last week, and I have to tell you, I have been on the road all week and have not had a chance to be able to get that posted, but I'm hoping to be able to do that by tomorrow. So definitely look for that article to be coming out from MJ. It's called Dodging the Questions and the Speculation About Dodge Returning Back into the Sport of NASCAR and some of the possibilities that potentials there and why they may or may not be returning back to NASCAR. So certainly an interesting article for fans to watch for tomorrow at fanforracing.com. Anything else that you're working on right now, Jay?
Well, as we've talked about, my focus would be on the Monster Energy Cup Series. Been talking about that playoff bubble. So that's the next one you'll be seeing from me is if I get it, I'll probably wait until after this weekend, after the race on Saturday. So that one will factor in, leaving us 8 races. What it's going to come down to and which drivers I think could get a win to sneak in. So we'll take a good look at that playoff bubble and what to expect or the possibilities of it there.
Absolutely. And before we leave, I also want to make sure that I mention the next race for the NASCAR Can-Am West is on July 28th, the Casey's General Store 150. One of my favorite races all season long is when the East meets the West out at Iowa Speedway. And right now, the Can-Am East is racing at Thompson Speedway this weekend. After that race, that is their next race as well, is Iowa Speedway on their schedule for that East-West combo. So I can't wait for that to happen. Actually, there is one more race. I have to retract myself here. July 15th, the Can-Am East is racing at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in the United Site Services 70. So they're racing at Thompson this weekend, next weekend at New Hampshire, and then finally, July 28th, the East will meet the West out at Iowa Speedway. So I wanted to make sure that I did mention that before we closed out the show tonight. Anything else you want to make sure we mention before we sign off here?
No, you can expect us back on Thursday night next week, correct?
That's next Thursday night. We will be back here on Fan for Racing Radio. That will be Thursday, July the 13th. But before that, Sal and I will also return back to the airwaves Monday, July 10th, for our NASCAR and Race Talk review of the races that are taking place at Kentucky Speedway, Thompson Speedway, and Iowa Speedway this weekend. We'll definitely be looking at getting some of those race winners here on the show on Fan for Racing Radio for Monday night's review. So be sure to tune in for that starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then, as Jay pointed out, we'll be back on Thursday, July the 13th, for our preview of that weekend of racing. Always fun to do with you, Jay. Really appreciate all that you do, and looking forward to chatting with you again next Thursday night, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, and everybody enjoy the racing this weekend.
Absolutely. Enjoy your race weekend, and we'll see you right here on the other side next Monday night. Good night, everyone, and thanks for listening.